everybody, this is Dave. Welcome back to the All Independent Reno Podcast. This next episode is with Alec Owensworth from the band Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. He was coming through town here. He played a solo acoustic show at the 7th Street Station, which was a living room show that is put on by Undertow Music Collective. If you go to undertowmusic.com, you can check out a variety of living room shows, but one of them specifically was here at the 7th Street Station. Big thanks again to Tim for hosting and for Undertow for putting that on. And of course for Alec Owensworth for coming down to Reno again and playing a solo acoustic house show that was sold out the other night. And it's it was really cool to see him play again and see everybody having a good time at the show. And it was fun to talk to him. He always opens up the floor to conversation. Not always. I've only seen him, this is the second time seeing him. But I'm sure he does, a similar kind of thing where he just, likes to talk to people at the shows during and before and after and whatnot. And he was kind enough to take a little bit of time from his tour doing these living room shows to stop in to my place and have a little conversation, which you'll be listening to here in a little bit after I'm done yapping. And anyways, you can check out more, on his website, Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, if you just search for him. Anyways, here's the interview, and I hope you all like it.
And action.
Action. All right, so I'm sitting here with Alec Owensworth of Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. Just played a living room show here in Reno at 7th Street Station at Tim's Place.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for coming down and talking to me and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Yeah.
He calls that, what does he call it?
The 7th Street Station.
I like that. That's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's just like at his house in his living room and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And what was there, like 40, 50 people there last night?
Yeah, thereabouts. I'm not really sure exactly.
But yeah.
I'd guess. That's a reasonable guess.
Yeah. How long have you been doing just living room shows?
3 years? Two to three years.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say it's probably coming up on 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like doing the living room shows more than, like, playing with a full band, or...?
It's not, like, a matter of liking one more than the other. I think it's more a matter of just a change of pace and a change of, like, a different challenge, really. Full band, you can go hard on a tour, and you're basically I think the only problem is sometimes with the full band is it's hard to work with the entire catalog. I mean, at this point, I've made 6 albums and working on the 7th on the next Clap Your Hands record. It would be 5 Clap Your Hands records, but.
But you had a solo album, too.
Yeah, a record I made down in New Orleans and one I put together in my barn with a bunch of people in Philadelphia. I think, for me, like, what you can do with living room shows is I can pull out some songs that I never would play otherwise. And I can't just say, listen, we're going to play Yankee Go Home right now with the full band.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't played that. I mean, it's getting to the point where there are a lot of songs, and I can't necessarily just say, we're all on the same page, let's make it work right now.
Right, go, yeah.
Whereas last night, for example, I played one song that I hardly ever play, and I just decided to dive in, know what I mean? So it's a nice opportunity that way.
Was that the Flying Burrito Brothers song?
That was another. Yeah. Well, that one I just put together. I played it for the first time 2 nights ago in Eugene. And and in Eugene as well, somebody came who wanted to hear Adam's Plane, which is the last song on Hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
And I never played that, but I figured, I think I can do that,
Yeah,
I started to develop a style doing the living room shows, which has taken a bit of work, which is similar to the full band, but unlike the full band, and it's gotten to the point where I've played about 400 of these, and it's made it fairly easy for me to bounce around. So long as I know what key the song is in, I can usually kind of get there.
You know? Yeah.
It's starting to get, I'm starting to be able to understand how to move from one song to the next without too much effort.
So after doing like 400, you know, living room shows, like playing in just people's houses and stuff like that, how is that like, I mean, it's more comfortable for you, right? Instead of like just being in a venue where, you know, a lot of people are just talking or on their phones or loud or whatever, it's definitely more like an intimate setting, right?
Yeah, and that I love about it. I mean, I actually get a bit of a feel for the places I visit.
Everybody's super quiet and just chilling, listening to you play.
Yeah, everybody's really quiet and everybody's very polite for the most part. And there's none of that like sort of antagonistic back and forth that sometimes you get at larger venues, which can be fun too, but not in small doses. But I think for these it's great because it's like I open it up and I want to know what people are thinking, and I like the back and forth aspect of it. I like to understand where they come from. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I can understand, you know, who I'm writing these songs for a little bit more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes some difference. I just, on a human level, the idea of communicating ideas from one side to the other is sort of the point, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of, you know, everybody just being focused on getting drinks at the bar, you know,
right,
taking pictures of the band and then uploading them. And
yeah,
I was listening to we were talking about Bob Boylan, you know, last night.
Yeah.
He had an episode with Robin Hilton talking about just people's cell phone usage at shows, and he's like a big fan of, you know, I want to take pictures to share with people at shows. And, you know, I saw a few people last night like doing that, but it wasn't as bothersome, you know.
No, it's, I mean, it's not a huge, it doesn't really make much difference to me. The video part, I mean, I feel like people get carried away sometimes, especially, you know, you're posting videos of a band and they all go up on YouTube, and it's just like, for one thing, it's a terrible representation of what's happening. It's just this grainy, you know, really shitty sounding video.
Yeah.
And a band's up there and you can't really get any feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if people feel a little bit closer, you know, and if that's their thing, so be it. It's just not my style, that's all.
Yeah. Well, and it was cool that you just, like, halfway through playing last night, you're just like, hey, does anybody have any questions and stuff?
Yeah.
And, you know, people just asked about all kinds of, like, different experiences with you playing. There was a big conversation about The Boss last night.
Yeah. I really like Bruce Springsteen. I don't know if I should go on. I think that the question was, or that the conversation revolved around mostly the length of shows.
The 4-hour long shows.
I'm not
going to
say where I stand on that in a public setting, but I don't know. I think to each his own again.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you were talking last night when we were just, you know, bullshitting on the front porch about Bob Dylan, you know, and him being like, he was a big influence for you. You were saying you listened to him and seen him more than anybody else. And
I've seen Dylan live more than anybody. And I'm not, I mean, one of my problems, I guess, with the idea of an extraordinarily lengthy show is that I like shows up to a point. And maybe I've been become cynical because I've seen so many over the years. But even before that, it was a select few that I would actually want to go out and see. And every so often I'd get surprised. You know, I didn't say that, like, there was a band called The Teeth in Philadelphia that I didn't know anything about, and I just went to this club and they were playing, and I was like, wow, this is pretty fantastic, you know. But more often than not, I didn't really know why I was at the venue while I was listening to it. But Dylan was one that really impresses me every time I see him. You know, I think in my opinion, I feel like he's getting better and better. Iggy Pop was one that I saw a bunch over the years. A Jonathan Richman, somebody I go out of my way to see.
I love Jonathan Richman. Yeah, I've seen him a few times here in Reno.
It's those three that I can think of off the top of my head, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are like the big ones for me that have made a serious impression. But there, you know, obviously there are a lot of, like, I like all types of music, so, you know, I will go out of my way occasionally. But, I mean, lately, and the sort of the older I get and the more shows I've seen, again, this comes from the experience of, you know, festival after festival and then whatever.
Yeah.
It's usually just friends who come through that I want to go see.
Mm.
And I'm lucky enough to have some good friends who make some really interesting music, I think.
Yeah. So, like who?
The Broken Social Scene guys, the Walkmen, when, you know, it's now like Ham or whatever variation of the Walkmen is around now.
Is that Ham? Ham is the Walkmen?
No, Ham. Hamilton Lethauser.
Oh, okay.
Ham. So Ham does his solo stuff now, and Pete does his solo stuff at Waltz and whatever. They all splintered off. Los Lobos.
Mm.
I made a record with Steve, so I tried to catch Los Lobos. Who else? Dr. Dog, if
you're know, oh, yeah. around. They just came through Reno, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So when Dr. Dog's around, I sometimes try to catch them. The National guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cold War Kids, you know, Elvis Perkins, people like that I have a relationship with from the past. Or,
and you're just like, hey, I'm going to be at your show.
And yeah, you know, and just drop them a line and I say, I see that you're coming through, or they let me know that they are coming through.
Mm.
And yeah, that's sort of the way it works.
That's cool. What's the last show that you got to go see? Was it
Paul Simon, actually.
Oh, nice.
And at the Mann Music Center, which was great. It was really great. His band was really interesting. It was like, it was loose, but also together. It's hard to describe. I mean, at the beginning of the show, I thought, man, this is really way looser than I thought it would be. And almost off the rails. I thought it would be really, you know, really tight and really like...
It's regimented.
Really regimented, yeah. But it was like perfectly loose, you know what I mean? Mm. Like everybody was like an amazing instrumentalist up there.
I think it's a good description for Paul Simon himself, perfectly loose.
Yeah. I mean, Paul Simon to me sounds so... he sounds so understanding of what the next step is going to be, like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. But you're right. I think when you think about his records, whatever it might be, like his solo record, I think it's the self-titled and, like, Still Crazy After All These Years even, which sounds a little more put together. And then the later stuff, you know, that period, and then some of the later stuff like Graceland and Rhythm of the Saints and stuff like that. It's strange. It seems like some musicians, as they get older, starts to get a little dull, a little stiff. I mean, it gets like really, it becomes like really well done, you know, like in not the best way. And so it sort of loses this human quality.
But it's like overproduced.
Yeah, but people like Paul Simon, to me, people like Bob Dylan, people like Tom Waits, who's mm-hmm. maybe my biggest hero in the music business, they all seem to take these chances and make sure that it's they're going to do something that's right for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the goal.
Yeah. Well, and you've been, playing and been touring for... What, like 10 years now? 15 years?
Well, I mean, touring around the country and elsewhere.
Or writing and making records.
I mean, I've been writing for about 20 some years. I would say 20 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Writing songs. So I'm just like trying to work it out in my head.
That's
actually the case.
How old am I now?
Yeah, right. Man. Yeah, so I think about that, and touring and performing in front of people for maybe like 15 years, mm-hmm. you know, 14, 15. So, you know, I'm new. I'm
a new. Yeah. Relatively new.
Yeah, well, compared to the people that I've been talking about, I'm just a young buck.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
I'm just starting out.
A novice.
Trying to get my big break.
Yeah. Well, when you first started out playing, you were telling this story last night at the show at Tim's house about you were playing at this club. And there was like a drag queen was like the host of the show.
Yeah.
And then
Jeffrey.
Like,
And they were great. The band, Jeffrey was great. And the band was great. And yeah, so a lot of what I did was at a place called L'Etage in Philadelphia. And it was like a club. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, it was a small club, and they held these weekly events or weekly performances, and it was Jeffrey and who dressed in drag and was a drag queen, and drag is a fairly big thing in Philadelphia, at least it was then, and this was probably about 15 or 16 years ago. But for me, it was like an opportunity to try out songs every week. And they would ask me to play 2 to 3 songs. And it would be a pretty over-the-top performance. I mean, that's sort of the nature of drag. You go out and you interact with the audiences. And it can be a lot of fun, you know, if it's done well. And then it's sort of, you know, this is all happening in the club. And then it would come back to me, and I'd say, I just play my songs.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that.
Just you and acoustic guitar.
Sort of no frills, and then it would go back to the big, you know, drag performance.
Yeah.
Which was amusing to me, but also, I mean, it helped me, A, get a little bit of confidence performing in front of people, and B, challenge myself. I would try to write, I don't know, I was of the mind that a lot of these people came over and over again, like came every week, and I was of the mind that I needed to write a new song, at least one new song, to perform every week.
So it kind of gave you a deadline and...
Yeah. I mean, I would often just do 2 to 3 songs, and then a new 2 to 3 songs, and then a new 2 to 3 songs every week. And a lot of the early songwriting, a lot of the first album came out of that period, you know.
That's pretty cool. Just like working on like...
Sure.
Is that how you, like at that time, did you come up with like the way you sing, you know, at that stage?
I've been singing that way since I was 17, since I started singing. I've always... And I don't know if it was from listening to a lot of people like Lou Reed or, you know, Patti Smith, that sort of scene, and thinking, well, that's just the way you sing because that's the cool way to do it. And Dylan and people like that. So I always thought that's just, it feels right to me. And so I guess I got those influences just lodged in my head. And as soon as I started, you know, of course I was covering Lou Reed and Patti Smith and people like that. And, you know, Tom Verlaine and for television, you know, that sort of thing. These were big heroes to me, and I thought, well, that's just how it's done.
Yeah. And so singing like the standard kind of, you know.
Well, it's not even trying to do anything different. It's just that was natural. That was just like how I thought you were supposed to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like certain bands because of, you know, how they sing. It's like, okay.
Well, yeah, not only that.
That's definitely Alec Owensworth, you know, that song because you can identify the vocal stylings, you know.
Sure, and I'm attracted to singers that are a little bit unusual, and I think it's like it's the nature of their voice that almost positions their melody, like the construction of the vocal melody, like Morrissey will sing in a certain way. Michael Stipe sings in a sort of similar way.
David Byrne.
And it's supposed to fit the music, but it's also just like it's them. This is what's natural to them.
Yeah.
And it's probably always been to a degree. You know, one of my favorite singers, believe it or not, one of my favorite lyricists is Colin Newman from Wire. And
I love Wire.
I feel like that's a very kind of, you know, for whatever reason, like that just makes a lot of sense to me. I feel like I can I can learn a lot from him and the way he, you know, goes about things.
So, yeah.
And you know, that's the nature of music. I guess you're attracted to something because it just speaks to you and, you know, almost certain personal experiences you've had, you know, whether or not people, you know, even know this about you. Like, that's why, you know, something that is a little irritating for me is the dissolution of music, of record collections, and everything's on the computer. Like, one of the best talking points when you go into somebody's house, and, you know, it used to be that you'd see their, you know, enormous CD collection or their enormous vinyl collection, you'd say, and you'd get a good read. That and a collection of books, you know, gives somebody a really good indication of
who that person
where
is.
Where this person's coming from.
Am I going to like this person because, you know, all these records that you have?
In a snobbish way. It's more just like an understanding of the person's of the personality, you know.
Yes, for sure.
You know, how they grew up, even. I mean, like, you can, you know, for me, I was a product of a lot of the 90s style until it started to sort of translate into other things, and it finally, by the time it was like 17 or 18, it sort of settled on not one thing in particular, but some of the people that I've been mentioning, you know.
Yeah. Well, like we were just talking, you know, I really think that the shit that you watch, you know, on TV, the movies, the books you read, you know, really defines you as a person.
Yeah, and whatever kind of, like, gets through to you. And usually this happens, I don't know if this is truly the case, but usually it does happen in these formative years when you're sort of in your teens, and then something gets through that speaks to you in a big way, and that starts to branch out, and you start to learn more about other things that surround it. I mean, if you are a Fellini fan, let's say, and you're a film buff. I think I just noticed you had a pin that was like Fellini-esque on your bag there.
Which one? Let's see.
Isn't that
33 1/3? I got that from Amoeba or something like that.
Maybe that wasn't it. I was thinking of something different. Anyway, so my point is, like, if you're a Fellini fan, then you'll go on to Woody Allen as a very, and then you'll go on to X, Y, Z, after that. And everything sort of fits together because it speaks to you, you know, in a specific way. And it's not, you know, I never approached things myself in any sort of snobbish way. It's just like, this is what I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, I mean, including my stuff, it doesn't really, you know, then you should go listen to something else.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, like, twist your arm here, you know. It's a very personal thing, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
So you were talking about, a little bit ago, you're working on a new album, too?
Yeah.
In the barn?
In a separate project studio that's in Philadelphia. The barn, that studio is gone now, which is fine. I've been working, let's see, well, we worked at Dr. Dog Space for a little bit. They have a studio, and my engineer is linked into there. And where else have we worked? Minor Street Studios, downtown, to get, you know, basically basic tracking for mostly to get drums right.
Okay.
And I've been doing add-ons, which is the same as the last record, and I guess a couple others, maybe, like, in my own project studio, like, on my own setup.
Mm-hmm.
So, different vocal parts and keyboard parts and guitar parts and things like that.
So know? It'll be a full, like, full band record.
Yeah.
Coming out.
Yeah.
When do you expect for that to be?
February.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, at some point in February. Yeah.
That's exciting.
I like it a lot. Yeah, it's good. And we're working with Dave Friedman again, on sort of the post-production mixing, and, you know, Dave's great. We both have a good understanding of each other, and he did the only run in Some Loud Thunder, and you know, I trust him.
So you get time to, or I should say, do you get time to like write while you're doing like all these the living room show tour and everything? Or?
Not so much. I mean, for example, like, you know, I drove 8 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I mean, sometimes, but I have 9 shows in a row on this initial stretch. I haven't had a lot of time to sit down and start working on anything.
You're like, I'm going to write a song right now.
Yeah.
In my car while I'm driving, right. You know, talking to myself in my Prius.
Yeah, it's probably not the best stuff that's going to be coming out of that.
Yeah.
But I've thought of it. I mean, because the next one I wanted to make, I did want to do a more of an acoustic. I'm not really sure yet, but I think I want to do an acoustic, like a pretty bare bones album, and yeah, and so I should maybe do that a little bit more on the road.
Who do you like nowadays that's like just straight like acoustic and like folky stuff?
I don't know that many people these days who I really dig into. I mean, usually another thing that that you have to be careful about is if you're gonna do it that way, you probably should have lyrics that really stand up, really, you know, stand for something. Not that you have to make, you know, definitive statements at every, you know, with every verse, but something that actually is very intriguing. Too often I've heard, I heard some guy the other day who was not very good,
we won't talk about that guy.
No, yeah. I don't even remember his name, but it was that sort of, it was a singer-songwriter thing, but it was all, you know, it was just platitudes and just general, you know, I love her and she doesn't love me type of stuff. And it was just like, well, that doesn't really tell me much about anything. Anybody could say that.
Scratching the surface type shit, as opposed to like Courtney Barnett, if you like her at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, like, people's names don't spring to mind immediately, because I mostly am listening to older stuff or stuff that's going to inform what I do next. I think Will Oldham made a pretty intriguing record, but it wasn't recent, called Days in the Wake, which I really liked. Of all of his stuff, Will does you know, Bonnie Prince, Billy Palace music, Palace Brothers, all that stuff. I think Will writes some interesting stuff. I don't know. The newer. Oh, Elvis Perkins. I think Elvis is one of the more interesting songwriters around. Dave Bazan did a record with the Passenger String Quartet.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this was last year. And Dave, I know pretty well. And Dave is, you know, Will Johnson. Not that I'm, you know, to plug the Undertow Collective, but I think those guys are true songwriters. Mm-hmm. And they make a lot of sense to me, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and those guys are all doing living room shows too. David Bazan, yeah. Will Johnson,
sure.
And, so. With Van Devere,
sure,
came through recently. Yeah. Well, where are you heading to next?
Alameda.
Yeah. I know we talked about that already. I was just recording it like. Yeah. I knew where you were going already.
Yeah,
but.
I've been through this before. I get it.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming down and talking to me and spending, you know, taking time out of your day, because I know you got to head out soon. And all
go through Donner Pass.
Yeah, go, you know, hiking a little bit.
Without the tire chains this time.
Yeah, last time you were here was in November and it snowed pretty hard.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. That was exciting.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that outside. You had to buy some chains and try to get over the pass and not have to, you know, eat your friend. You know?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, what is it, LeVon Holmes said, you know, is not in this for his health. It's sort of that, you know, mentality when you go out on some of these tours.
Yeah.
On your own and you're driving long drives. I probably drove from Portland or something the day before, and then the next day I have to go through a snowstorm in Donner Pass. And I was just like,
that's rough.
Yeah, that ain't it for my health.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, it's been fun talking to you and stuff, and appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Cool, man. Good job.
Okay, there's our interview with Alec Owensworth from the band Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. He was nice enough to come through Reno and play a house show at 7th Street Station at Tim's house, and even nicer for him to stop by and talk to me for a little bit so you could all hear our conversation that we had. So we talked about a bunch of other things, too, off the record. It's not like it's confidential, but it just wasn't recorded. Anyways, he was a cool guy. Big thanks to him for coming out, and drive safe out there doing all those living room shows across the country. You can check out more at their website, cyhsy.com. That's Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, abbreviated.com, obviously. And anyways, be sure to like 7th Street Station on Facebook so you can check out all these cool house shows coming up. You can listen to the previous episode of All Independent Reno with Tim from 7th Street Station. So anyways, until next time, we're going to have another band in about a couple weeks on here. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. Just stay tuned to find out. Anyways, thanks again for listening, everybody. This is Dave with All Independent Reno Podcast. See you later.